Hey guys, my guest tonight, Yvonne R. Smith, is going to be talking about contactees and the Alien Hybrid Program. We'll be right back.
Grab your popcorn and snacks. Find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Monday. How's everybody doing today? I think I heard you say good. Four more days to go to the weekend. What can I say? Anyway, my name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. I'm also the owner of the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team based out of Sacramento, California. We're 45 strong up and down the state, which means if you have a paranormal need or you think you do, we can get to you. It might take us a couple days, but we definitely can get to you. California is a huge state. So in the case that we can't get you right away, we do have mediums on staff who can phone you and talk to you about what may or may not be going on. And in most cases, my S's are back, my throat's dry. In most cases, they can call me and the stuff down that's going on until we can get out there. But it never takes us more than 2 or 3 days to get to you. Okay, that being said, if you guys are watching from Facebook, and a lot of you are, please feel free to follow if you like what you see today. And if you like what you hear, please feel free to follow. We're always looking for followers. Also, feel free to chat amongst yourselves in the chat room. I'll try and read those as much as I can. And be sure to leave us a thumbs up, a heart, or whatever, depending on whatever social media thing you're on, okay? Because that helps us with what they call the For You page, which is FYP, if you ever wonder what FYP is. And what that does is when they see you chatting and they see you leaving those little happy faces and stuff, it just, they share us out further, okay? All right, that being said, if you're listening and you're in a house or something somewhere, or you're in a park and you've got friends out there, have them come listen to the show. Share it with them. Share it with them. Share. Things are going just wonderfully. Oh, gosh. I've been working out in the yard. The RSS feed, man, we look like we're gonna have a lot more than last month as far as that goes, as far as the podcast version of the show, so I'm excited. All right. YouTube is another issue. If you're watching from YouTube tonight, and some of you are, please feel free to subscribe if you haven't done so already. There's a 1,000 videos over at YouTube. They're all of this show. I don't do the same topic every night. I change it up. I'm a journalist by trade, so I like to also do current news items, and we're going to be doing that coming up here this week sometime. So, I like to change it up so you can look at all these shows and see all the different topics that we have. Plus, I've taken them, well, not all of them, but I've taken some of them, and put them in their own folders so you can find them easier. You like cryptids, go to the cryptid folder. You like medium Nancy Matt, she's got her own folder. Whatever you're into, they're listed by folder. You just go in and say, okay, I want to listen to this one. Click, right? All right. That being said, let's get this show going. I'm excited to have our guest tonight, Yvonne R. Smith. I'm going to let her tell you about herself. But we're going to be talking about contactees and all that good stuff and the hybrid program. So let's get into this, and here we go. Hello.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
Fine. How are you? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for coming on. Tell us about you.
Well, I've been working with abductees, experiencers, for the last 33 years. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, and I also founded a support group, CERO, C-E-R-O, Close Encounter Resource Organization, 32 years ago, for the sole purpose of providing a safe haven for people who have had UFO experiences to speak to other like-minded people in a safe environment where there is no fear of ridicule, where they can speak. It's just like any other support group, but we're dealing with UFOs.
Very interesting. And how did you really get into getting involved with it, with contactees and stuff?
And should I say that again? I can't hardly breathe.
Sorry. How did you get involved with these contactees?
It's nothing that I planned. I mean, years ago in the late 80s, I went to see, during that time, there were conferences called Whole Life Expo. They would go all over the United States. And I spoke at them, several times later on. But my mom was very into the metaphysical. So she wanted me to go with her. And I saw Bud Hopkins, who is considered the pioneer of abduction research, and he eventually became my mentor. I saw his lecture, and from there, I became very interested for some reason. I began to look into it more and began to look into hypnotherapy colleges. Mm-hmm. Really, after over three decades, I'm convinced that I was placed on this path, on this road, to do what I'm doing, because it wasn't something, like I said before, that I planned. I had a completely different life.
Right.
But now I'm, after working with so many cases, hundreds of cases, and all the synchronicities that happen, I'm just convinced that I was placed here by whomever, it just meant to be, because once I started my work, doors opened up where I never approached anybody for an interview. Producers are calling me, people like yourself, during those days, early 90s, I mean, there were no podcasts. We didn't have the internet like we do now. So it was all in studio radio, which was really a lot of fun. And then a lot of talk shows. I flew to New York several times when they were featuring this the subject. A lot of shows on television, weekly shows like Sightings, Encounters, Mysterious Universe that featured UFOs and abduction. So it was a really busy 90s back then. And I'm still doing the work. And so just came back from speaking at Contact in the Desert, the 10th anniversary of that conference. Very well attended. And it was just, it was one of those conferences where you meet new people, then you see all your colleagues because we're spread all over the United States. So it was really, really nice to be there. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be leaving for Roswell, New Mexico, where I'll be a speaker again for the annual festival and conference.
When you talk about, having talked with hundreds of these contactees, are you finding similar stories from everybody? Or do the stories differ?
That's what I think really opened my eyes and kept me in this work, because there were people still who never met, and they are describing very, very similar experiences, the way the craft looks, the interior of the craft, what the beings look like, what type of medical experiments or procedures were done on them. So that's what, if people were making this up, you hear all kinds of different stories and see all kinds of different drawings of the alien beings. But, and the quality and caliber of people that I've worked with over the years, I mean, they have no reason to make this up. If people, they're hoaxing. Well, usually when someone wants to hoax something, it's for, financial gain. But abductees and experiencers do not, they have nothing to gain by this. If they were to perpetrate a great hoax, I mean, it would take a lot of special effects and a lot of money and poured into it. So, you know, if people think that, it's just totally impossible. Now it's a little bit harder to, you know, I think the internet, in a way, ruined it for a lot of our research, because now there's photo, Photoshop, and, you know, and don't believe everything you see on the internet. That's what I tell my new clients, you know, not everything's true.
Absolutely. Do you find that when you're interviewing people, because, you know, as a ghost hunter, when I go out and I'm doing a preliminary with people, one of the questions I ask them is, have you seen any paranormal TV shows or paranormal movies? Because sometimes people can take stuff and adapt, you know, that, what they saw into what they think they saw. Does that make sense?
But what about Charlotte? What about, okay, I understand that, but I know I've seen some of the, you know, ghost shows, what do you call them, where you go into someone's home. And what about when they're pushed down the stairs? What about when they have scratches on their bodies? And it happens right there. I mean, you know, you say three scratches. Things like that, I mean, I saw someone manifest that just because they want to, you know, they want to just play around with this. You know, it's the same thing with the abductees. Even though in my paperwork, and I inherited the information kit from Bud, and you know, we always said, don't read anything, don't watch, you know, anything on television. But even if they do, and the reason they do, when people have something that they can't explain that happened to them, and I'm talking 20, 30 years ago, they start researching, like, what is this? Sometimes, I mean, many times they think it's got to be ghosts or got to be spirits. And, and very true, the paranormal and UFO experiences intertwine. They intertwine. I had that happen in my own home with the paranormal experiences. But once I interview someone, once I start working with them, I can tell what's paranormal and what's alien beings. So, they, you know, I tell people now, don't worry that you've read the books, because once I put them into hypnosis and into regression, it's that deep emotion, it's that fear when they begin to relive the experience. They actually begin to feel pain of going through what they went through. A skilled hypnotherapist will use techniques where the person can just report what's happening without feeling the fear, you know, or the pain, but just tell me what's happening. That's what's important, is just to bring it forward and out of the subconscious mind.
Is there a way, you know, when they're hypnotized, and I know the movie Barney Betty Hill, you know, that movie, when they showed the hypnotist working with them, is there a way that through hypnotism you're able to reassure them that they're not going to be hurt or not to be afraid of what they're seeing, so they can describe it to you?
Before, of course, you know, before I do any hypnosis, I schedule an initial consultation with them on Zoom, and I tell them that you may relive the experience, but I will use techniques where you won't have to experience the fear or the pain. But what's important is not to hold anything back. Don't worry about it sounding weird or crazy, because I may have heard it hundreds of times. Mm-hmm. What's important is just verbalize everything. Just bring it forward. And, you know, during the process, say they're going through that fear, I continue with the suggestions that they're not, you know, they're not there now. They're just reporting it. Just tell me what's happening. So it takes, you know, it just takes a few times. It's a really complex work. And also it takes a lot of patience, because not everything, unfortunately, comes out in one session. It depends on the person. Sometimes in one session I get floodgates open. Many times there's blocks that happen. And the blocks happen because the our subconscious, no matter, you know, say we go through any kind of trauma, its job is to protect us. And whatever the alien beings may have tried to instill in them, and many times they tell them, you're not going to remember this, you know, and they try to, you know, what they do, anesthetize them with whatever they use. But really, they if they wanted to permanently block someone's mind, they would be able to do it. But you know, because someone like me, a hypnotherapist, wouldn't be able to penetrate that. But I feel now, after working so long, that I know that the beings want people, want the public to know that they're here, that they're going to be showing themselves more. This is real, and they want people to know what's happening.
When you over the years that you've interviewed people, is there a common thread to all these abductions? Is there a particular reason why they keep taking people?
A particular reason, or yeah. Is that what?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's all speculation right now, but after, you know, studying so many cases and hundreds of hours of regression, that I feel that the hybridization program is central to what they're doing, what they have been doing, creating a hybrid race, part alien, part human, for whatever reason. We still don't know. You know, we don't know what the ultimate purpose is. We don't know what their end game is. But just about everyone that I've worked with have been shown their hybrid children.
Wow. Tell me about a couple of cases, you know, what people have done, you know, or how the abductions occurred and then what happened during the abduction.
There's a couple ways where someone begins to have the abduction experience. Now, this experience usually will start in very early childhood. Children about the ages of 4, 5, 6 years old will start saying some strange things to their parents, like something came in their room, or, you know, there was a ghost in the room, or, you know, there was a clown in the room. The children will relate, then they'll say whatever they relate to, a cartoon character, you know, but it sounds a little strange. And then this experience will follow them throughout their entire life. It will also affect some members of the family. It runs intergenerational. So once a person is chosen, we still don't know exactly how and why. Once you're chosen for this and your family, you're in this. This is a lifelong experience. People will, say, be driving down a highway, and they will many times see some strange bright lights that are very low flying, and they know this can't be a helicopter or plane's too low. Or they'll see while they're on the road, they'll see, say, an accident scene in front or ahead of them, and they'll see lights, bright lights, and they'll see first responders around the scene. And they go through, they pass it, and then they get home because nothing occurs to them at the time. And later on, they stop and think. Because many times the person's not by themselves, they're with other people, family members, coming home safe from the airport. And they'll say, why did it take 3 hours for us to get home? Excuse me, when it should have taken just an hour. And what's really strange about this is that this will not occur to them that same night, or maybe, you know, weeks or months, but sometimes years later, it's a very strange phenomenon that, and I know that people will be programmed not to talk to each other, but then something triggers someone's mind, I'll go, and it occurs to them, wait a minute, we got home really late. And so that's called, you know, a missing time episode or experience. Very, very common. And then another way is, we call them the bedroom or home visitations, where a person could be sitting in bed, watching TV, reading a book, you know, they're awake, and they begin to feel as if they can't move. They have a funny feeling starting from their legs way up. They can only move their eyes. Now, sometimes they will consciously see some beings in their room. Other times, there's a blackout period. People will remember either the beginning of an abduction or the end of an abduction. And that middle part is what haunts them. They know something happened, something strange, but they, you know, they don't know what. And later, I mean, like I said, this is really strange phenomenon. People will come to me 20, 30, 40 years later. You know, we're all working, raising families. They put it on the back burner. I can't deal with it right now. Mm-hmm. And what makes them come to me many times is when their little children start saying something and it sounds familiar to them. They're thinking, oh no, I remember something like that. Mm-hmm. And they need to deal. They need to know, okay, what happened to me? I need to be able to help my children. Or it gets to the point, you know, they PTSD symptoms. They can't sleep. They're having recurring dreams. They can't concentrate. It's affecting their families, affecting their relationships. And finally, they tell me, look, I'm either tell me I'm crazy or I just dreamt this. I made this up. You know, they just want, they're hoping they're crazy. That way they could be hospitalized, be medicated, it'll be over with.
Right.
But I assured them, I said, you know, you're not crazy. And most of the time, people who come to me have already been through the traditional therapy, the psychiatrist, the medication, and there's that one area that the therapist is not able to tap into. And so I get referrals from doctors and therapists, because they'll later on mention, my family thinks we saw a UFO. They won't mention that to their therapist in the very beginning. They're so afraid of getting locked up, they say. You know, I don't want to be locked up, it's crazy. So later on, as they gain a rapport with their therapist, they'll tell, you know, we think we saw a UFO, and then that's when the therapist goes, okay, maybe this is something else that they're not trained or even want to touch, you know, in their practice. They don't want to deal with this. So they will refer to me.
You mentioned something that kind of rang a bell about, you know, what little kids see, like they might see a clown or something. Have you heard reports from the contactees of the aliens sort of wearing hologram suits or holograms in front of them? Because I've heard, you know, people I've interviewed on the show will say, I remember being aboard the ship and this beautiful man came in, gorgeous man. And then he turned sideways, and there was an alien behind behind this man's body. Have you heard reports like that? Because I would think like that's what they're doing with little kids to make little kids not so scared.
Oh, sure. Yes. Well, they will. These beings can be very deceptive. There's so many times they'll appear. I mean, I have a case that they appeared in someone's dining room. Mm-hmm. And they appeared as, or the woman appeared as the person's deceased mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're, oh my gosh, they're, you know, my mom. And she started feeling comfortable. And it's not until, you know, down to the ship, it morphs into the being. And people get very angry about that. you know, it's a it's a trick. I mean, they feel very deceived. Mm-hmm. And children, of course, you know, my own son, he was 5 years old. My youngest son would tell me he would see a tall spider standing in the corner of his room and talking to him. He doesn't remember what it said. Uh-huh. But, you know, think about it. I've heard a lot of spider descriptions from children. Think about, you know, the spindly arms. You know, of course, spiders have 8 legs, but they're talking about, like, the tall and thin and spindly. So over the years when I've heard that, you know, when my son first said it to me, I was just getting into my work, and I thought, oh, my God. You know, then I consulted with Bud. And at the time, Dr. John Mack, and they said, oh, yeah, you know, these children will describe such and such. So it's the same thing. And we call them screen memories. People will say, oh, I saw a beautiful white owl, you know, or a 5-foot white owl. And we're like, okay, this is California. I don't think we have 5-foot white owls. But it makes sense to them. You know, at the time, they're, oh, you know, 5-foot white owl, and they kind of, that's what they think. And then until later on, maybe they'll read something, maybe they'll hear somebody else describe something, and they realize, oh my God, that couldn't have been an owl, you know, things like that.
You also mentioned a link, and something else I read, and I don't, like, Jerry's probably tired of hearing me say this on these shows, but I'm going to say it again, from the Mojave Incident. It made me rethink what I do as a ghost hunter, because the way they describe the after effects of the abduction when the aliens were coming back to take them again is the room would get ice, would get really cold.
Mm-hmm.
And they would see these beings come out of the walls. And it brought me to thinking that sounds just like what people were telling me they're witnessing in the dark, you know, in their bedrooms. And then you look at these EVPs that we get, and unless they're a class A, right? A lot of them sound like they're underwater, real garbled. They sound like they're really far away, like it could be other dimensions coming through.
Right.
So it made me think what I do. You know, am I investigating, you know, contactees stuff, or am I investigating ghosts?
Right, right. Well, I've seen a lot of ghost investigations. I have not been on one myself, mm-hmm. but I watch a lot of documentaries. Uh-huh. And then working one-on-one with people, you know, thousands of people by this time, I could differentiate alien being with a uh-huh. spirit, or because alien beings, as far as I know, after, you know, 3 decades, they don't push anyone down the stairs.
Right.
Alien beings, I've never used a voice box or, you know, those instruments that you use. I didn't train like that with Bud Hopkins. They never used that. That could be another addition to, you know, to the abduction, but the person would have to be aware. That's the hard part of it, aware that they're about to be abducted. They have to be pretty much conscious the whole time. Like you're there, you know, you're in someone's house and you're right. using your instruments and so forth. But right. like I mentioned, abductees will remember the beginning. Like, oh, they're mm-hmm. they're paralyzed, or they, you know, they're driving and they see this thing in the sky, and the next thing they know, that's another part of it. Next thing they know, they're down the highway miles, and they don't know how they got there. Because missing time it's not like time will stop and then it starts again. It's just mm-hmm. linear. It just keeps going. So you don't think anything happened. So that, you know, people have also tried to abductees try to many times set up cameras in their house, all over their house, especially in the bedroom, because, you know, the bedroom visitations. And more times than not, they'll see themselves get up, go to the camera, and turn it off. Like I said, they're programmed to do this. Or if they want to, another instance is they go back to the film and they watch it and it's scrambled, you know, just mm-hmm. it's like clear and they see their bedroom, and sometimes orbs appear, you know, I'm sure you've seen those, but then right. all of a sudden it's scrambled. Now orbs appear with, you know, a lot of these films that people, with the cameras that they set up. And so I feel orbs are more, and you're the expert on that, on this, they're more spirit than they are alien, you know, but they're appear. Many times you don't see them, of course, with the naked eye, but all of a sudden they're looking at the film and thinking, oh my God, you know, it's just, it can be really complicated. But I'm going to definitely, Charlotte, keep your information in case someone comes to me or they need, you know, investigation in their home.
Sure, absolutely. And now talking to you, you made me rethink my paperwork, my initial questionnaire that I use now. I have 105 questions on this sucker. And I mean, it goes over everything except alien abduction. So that's what I'm going to be adding in, is do some research, maybe talk with you, you know, and see if I can get some questions put in there to ferret out more, you know, more of what we might be facing when we're investigating.
Yeah, because, you know, when people have come to me, and of course, I read their questionnaires, and then we go through the initial consultation, which doesn't involve any hypnosis. And that's when they're telling me about disturbances in their home, you know, like toilets flushing, cabinets, you know, banging, open and closed. And we had all kinds of things in our home. But that, when they talk about the paranormal, the typical, I know that's not alien abduction. Okay. But yet I tell them, but don't be surprised that you have this going on, because everybody seems to, in my support group meetings very early on, everybody discussed that, about having that in their home as well. But like I said, they don't, the beings don't mark someone right there, right when, you know, like they do with the ghost investigations. People will wake up the next morning with scars, triangular shaped marks, incisions. But see, when I watch the incisions on a ghost investigation, it looks very bloody. When somebody wakes up the next morning with these like incision marks, sometimes there's three, they look like they're almost healed over. That's what's really strange about this. But I show, like I did at Contact in the Desert, I show mainly triangular shaped marks and stars, because those are a little bit different, you know, they're more difficult to explain away. You know, how do you bruise in a triangular form?
So that's interesting. The thing I wanted to ask you is, people have reported, and I don't know if you got this from the people you've interviewed, but people have reported mass abductions where they'll be taken out of their houses. They look off to the side and there's other neighbors, you know, coming through their walls and stuff. And then when they get on board, they see other people.
Yeah. Yes, that happens. Excuse me. More times than not. Excuse me. Like you, Charlotte, I talk a lot in my work, so I have to keep drinking water. I wrote a book about the Coronado Island in San Diego mass abduction that happened in March of 1994. We were having this big company would sponsor UFO conferences all over our country. And I spoke at a lot of them. And this time, because it was in my backyard in San Diego, I was the MC. And so there were, you know, several of my Zero group members wanted to come. You know, they all caravaned down and wanted to meet other people and other experiencers from other states. And during that weekend, the dozen that were there, the dozen Zero members, had experiences. And one by one, they were coming to me during the conference. They were not feeling well. A lot of these people will wake up after an abduction having flu-like symptoms. They don't feel well. They feel achy. The real familiar phrase is, God, I feel like I've been run over by a truck. Two of them woke up with marks on their bodies. And they saw each other on the craft. But I didn't put all this together right away because I was so busy at the conference. And then later on, when we all got home, you know, they started contacting me. And so I started doing sessions. He was there. Uh-huh. And even when I was writing the book, I was traveling up north to do sessions with people, with the abductees who were there. Uh-huh. As I was writing it, because there were so many people, and like I said, you don't get all the information in one session. So that's a one example of having a mass abduction, and people do see each other on the craft. What I've had people in regression, and they're being taken out of their homes, like you said. It's very dry, and I have allergies.
There is something in the air because I wasn't taking, I was doing my yard work, not taking allergy pills, and I thought, boy, I better start taking them because I'm prone to allergies. The minute I started taking the allergy pills, I got this tickle in my throat, wrong consistency, coughing now, I don't know why.
I know, I was like this in Indian Wells down in Palm Springs the whole week we were there, and I was speaking a lot, you know, to the audiences. But when they're in regression, just like you said, they're taken out of their homes and say they see a craft there, either hovering or landed, and lines of people going into the craft, you know, like their neighbors going into the craft, or they'll be in the craft and they'll be in a large room with a lot of other human people. Sometimes they'll recognize somebody, other times they won't. A lot of them seem like they're, you know, they're half asleep, that they're not really conscious. So I've had several double abduction cases. So it's not just, you know, a single person every time. It's always really great to have multiple cases because I will work with them, and then I'll tell them, don't speak to each other and talk about, you know, details until we're all done. And so that's how, you know, that's how I put the Coronado case together. But this does happen all the time. And like I said, during the Coronado abduction, they saw each other on the craft.
I didn't know a couple that I interviewed from Australia last year that met on a craft. And they married. They ended up getting married. But they recognized each other, you know, a couple of trips on the craft, and boom.
That's so interesting, Charlotte. Now, when they met, did they look at each other like, you know, you look really familiar to me?
I guess, you know, because that's kind of the impression I got, yeah. And then it went from there, and then they started to figure out that they had both seen each other, a couple of times on the craft, because they were, you know, well, because like you say, they could take it multiple times, and so yeah, and they married.
Do you remember they met?
Pardon?
Do you remember how they met?
I don't remember how they met after the fact.
Okay.
I just know that they said that on the craft. He remembers seeing her. She remembers seeing him.
Oh, and
later
yeah.
on, somehow they hooked up, you know. Who knows? Could have been a Starbucks, hell, I don't know. But yeah.
It's amazing.
I thought it was amazing. Interesting story about this stuff. Yeah, what's the talk about the hybrid?
I learned over the years that these beings will orchestrate relationships. they'll put people together. Obviously, they put that couple together.
Obviously,
or
yeah.
they'll break people up if they think, okay, this relationship is not going to suit us. You know, we need say two experiencers together, and because sometimes in the couple, one wants to talk about it, the other doesn't want to talk about it, and it causes a lot of friction in relationships.
Absolutely. Now, when we talk about the hybrid, you know, population and what they're trying to do with the hybrids, I always felt that, like you mentioned disclosure, you know, how it's going to be coming out more and more. My thoughts with the hybrids is that they're living among us right now. And I think they're there because when disclosure does happen, because people will be scared, you know, it's just human nature. But when disclosure does happen, you're going to find out that your neighbor from across the street is a hybrid.
That's absolutely.
And you're not going to, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. And so when all this disclosure goes down, it's going to be upset for a while, but it's going to calm down because you know these hybrids.
Yeah, I do agree with you. And I could have said this 20 years ago, you know, but I even talked during my lectures and also my workshops that I feel now that they're among us. Many abductees and experiencers have met them. Now, you wouldn't notice them. They were probably at the conference last week. But, you know, you don't notice them as you're walking by. They just look like us. But they said when you engage them in conversation, there's something about their eyes. It's almost like they could look right through you, or like they could read your mind. There's something different about them. Now, years ago, the hybrids couldn't have walked among us because they were not perfected yet. They would have scared the heck out of people, you know. But now, I mean, my gosh, like I said, I've been doing this 3 decades. And, of course, you know, with their technology, they're going to improve.
Right.
And just about, I mean, I think just about every abductee and experiencer does experience sperm being taken, ova being taken, false pregnancies. They're not really false pregnancies, but pregnancies that they were pregnant,
right.
And then, you know, after 3 months, they're not pregnant anymore. Of course, the doctors can't explain that. They'll say, you know, spontaneous abortion, or, oh, your body must have absorbed it, or, you know, and I'm sure those medical things are true, but, you know, how could we prove that, you know, it was taken until I regress the person, and then we get the scenario that they were taken.
Right.
But of course, you know, it's hard. That's hard to explain to your OBGYN. And we're, you know, and we'd love to have more medical, you know, people coming into the field.
Right.
Because we need them. But yeah, I agree with you that they're here. You know, I don't feel that they're here to take us over, you know, like invasion of the body snatchers type thing. I've never felt that. They're here living among us now. You know, we'll see what happens down the line. Maybe I'll get some answers at some point. I always ask them, okay, I'm helping all these people. I need some answers. What are you doing? Of course, I haven't received any yet. So, you know, but, you know, who knows? I think we're turning the tide here with this subject being out in the mainstream media, you know, especially after the Tic Tac video with the Navy pilots, bless their heart, coming out with that. We've had congressional hearings with sworn in witnesses, pilots that saw these things flying around them. And we're hoping to have more congressional hearings in the near future because we really need that. I think there's a lot happening behind the scenes.
What messages, if any, are people coming back with?
For many, many years, and still, that they're shown when they're up on the craft, they're taken into, say, another room besides the examination room. Uh-huh. And they're shown, and I show slides of this, pictures of devastation on Earth. A lot of tsunamis, floods everywhere, bombs exploding. And they tell the person that we, as humans, can change this course, that we're, we haven't been taking care of the planet, and they are worried, they've been concerned about that. Uh-huh. They've been concerned about our nuclear weapons for a very long time. I mean, in the 60s, where there was, what, 5 military installations that they flew over and they turned off the ICBMs, and then they turned them back on. I mean, they have that kind of control. And that was a huge message to us, but, you know, have we listened? Uh-huh. No. And look at the state of our world now, what's happening around the world. It's like it's gotten worse. So I think they're very concerned. I know that there, many experiencers have said that they're getting the message, whether it's telepathic, whether it's in a vivid dream, you know, however they're getting the message that they are coming, that they're going to show themselves more. And it's, you know, and it's going to be the experiencers, the abductees, that are going to drive disclosure, because there's so many, and with them coming forward, and these beings are going to be contacting the experiencers, you know, because they don't trust our mainstream media or our government, because they twist the story and nobody ever gets the truth. So I think we have some interesting times ahead of us, Charlotte.
I think so too. You talked about children earlier. Have you been able to work with children at all and talk to them to see what they're experiencing?
I don't hypnotize young children. I had, and just with my own son when he was 5, I have them draw pictures, and then I have them explain what this is. I show these drawings, you know, in my presentation. One drew a spaceship, and then a light beam coming down, and his daddy right in the middle of the light beam, and he was standing right next to him. So he was telling me that, you know, he saw his daddy being taken. Now, when I have regressed many adults, and I take them back to being a child, and they go back to being, say, 10 years old, they will describe the examination or the experimentation of what's happening at that time as a child. And so that's how, okay, that's what happened to these children. It's the same thing. I mean, they're, the sperm is taken. I mean, when they're, what, 12 or so, 12 or 13, you know, uh-huh. not real young children, but during puberty mainly, same thing with the girls. And they're, you know, they're placed on a table, and whatever they do, scan them, and sometimes they will mark them. I mean, in my double abduction case of 2 brothers, they both came away with, and that's in my book, Chosen. That was my first double abduction. They come away with, they both came away. One, John had an implant right under his earlobe, and Jesse had an implant right under the skin under his left shin. And he had it removed in the late 80s. And it was amazing. It looked like a shard of glass, but it had a lot of minerals. It was crystals. It emitted radio waves. I mean, it just, you know, we had it analyzed a couple times. So they do, the children do come away with sometimes objects in their bodies.
Now let's talk about that a little bit. You know, these people that have these literal trackers in their bodies, you know, so they can be found again. How frequent is that?
Uh, people being implanted.
Yes.
It's pretty common. Not everybody knows if they have. I think there's probably hundreds of people that may have been implanted that don't know it. Unless they feel, unless it's obvious, it's right under your skin and you can move it around, and there's, in the back of your earlobe, right where in the back of the skull, where the skull meets our spine, that's a very common place. So many times people can feel something right underneath it. You don't want to go and try to get it removed, especially when it's in your head or near your brain. Some people have had them removed when they're in, say, other parts, on their hand, on their arm, on their leg. We've had Dr. Roger Lear several years ago, and his colleague do about 17 surgeries removing these objects, and he had several of them analyzed, and unfortunately he passed away, and the family has all the objects and information. But at this point of my research and work, I don't recommend anybody having them removed unless they are causing pain or discomfort, because when many people have had them removed, they were abducted again. They did not have a very pleasant experience. The being seemed to be not pleased, and then they implanted them again in an area where it's much harder to, to go in and take it out. So I don't recommend it at all.
And then I've heard reports where people have gone in to have these things removed, and they move.
Yep. That happened with Whitley Strieber. He had just the same as John, feel him in the back of his earlobe. They were ready for surgery, and the surgeon got close and it moved. And that's when he said, "Nope, I'm not going to touch this."
Wow.
Very, very strange.
Now, you mentioned your life about being abducted. Do you remember, or can you share that with us?
With myself?
Yeah.
I've had experiences. I never came forward and talked about them because back in the early days, because Bud Hopkins has told me, don't talk about them. You're a hypnotherapist. You may lose credibility or objectivity. Right. And so for a long time, I didn't say anything. It wasn't until a few years ago, he passed away, and I started seeing my clients and other people coming forward. I mean, people like, retired lawyers and doctors and people like that, that they're tired of living a secret life. And so I thought, it's time. But I don't remember anything in childhood like a lot of my clients do. But I feel like I was awake in my 30s when it was about the time I got really interested in this. And I had, I had some memories of one being on board. I was sitting in a, always described as a high-tech dental chair, and I had beams around me, and I saw this spray come over me. And I remember just turning my head to the left like this. And after that happened, they escorted me into this huge pyramid, but it was crystal. It was huge, and it had a green tinge to it. It was beautiful. And so they escorted me in there. It had a honeycomb effect to it. And it's really funny because Jesse's implant, when analyzed, the little shard of glass had a honeycomb effect to it. But when they escorted me in, I don't remember anything after that. But I tried some hypnosis with Bud, but it was just very, slow information coming forward. And we couldn't get together often because he was in New York and I'm here in California. So, but there were just a few of these subconscious memory that I had. And then of course, when my 5-year-old son started talking about things, I thought, oh my God, this is true. This is happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fascinating. What's next for you now?
I'm working on a couple projects. I'm working on a Ciro documentary, which we hope will be coming out, soon. But these things take so much time. And also a Ciro anniversary book. We reached that 30-year milestone, and several of my members have written chapters in there. So, and it's about their experiences, about being in the support group and how it's affected them. And I think that's going to be an important book to put out there in the public's eye and let them see, wow, these people are, they're so normal. They could be my family. They could be my neighbors. So that's coming up. And I'm doing my next therapist training workshop in September. If anyone's listening and they're would like to do this work and you're already practicing, just bringing in some abduction cases, you can go onto my website, hypnotherapistyvonnesmith.com, and all the information is there. You can email me if you'd like to be placed on the list. So that's in September is my next workshop, because we really need trained therapists to do this work around the country, in other countries too.
Fantastic. The hour went by so fast.
I know.
I learned so much. Hope my audience learned as well. I would love to have you on again sometime down the future to talk with you more about this. I could sit here picking light. I mean, we could just go back and forth all night with this stuff. And I just find this so fascinating because it's something that, even as a kid, I saw craft. I'm not saying I got taken aboard, but I was forever seeing craft up in the sky. As an adult, because I would work late night shifts, be driving home. And I would see all kinds of weird stuff up in the sky. I see clouds light up and all this stuff going on. I had a missing time thing happen with my friend in the car. So I don't know. I'm just saying. I've had this stuff happen.
Maybe we'll talk more shortly.
Like you say, what's the first thing you do? You hit the internet, right? Because you're looking all this stuff up. So, yeah. But anyway, yes, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it. And
thank you for having me, Charlotte. You have a blessed rest of the week, and I appreciate being on the show.
All right, thank you. Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, guys, I learned so much. I love talking about that stuff. Tomorrow night, we're going to continue this mode of talk. Sir Blake Sinclair is going to be with us, and he's got some interesting stories, and he's also been in contact with what he claims are emissaries from other planets. So he's going to be talking with us tomorrow night, same time, same place, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. We'll be right here, California Haunts Radio, doing that. So I want to thank you all. Thank you all for coming tonight. I apologize. I'm one of those victims of the... I'm involved in this opioid epidemic shortage thing that's going on, and it's very difficult. What a lot of people don't realize is it's very difficult for pain patients, legitimate pain patients, to get their medication. And I'm in that spot now where I have no medication at this point. My pain level is a 15, so I'm trying to keep my brain straight and keep everything going during the show. So it's been an adventure the last two or three shows. But hopefully I'll get things resolved this week. But anyway, I want to thank you all for coming tonight. And I thank you. You guys out on the RSS feed, thank you, thank you, thank you for joining and downloading the show. I mean, we're having a great surge, and it's like it's finally starting to take off. And we've been at this I've been at this 4 years, plugging away to get this show off the ground, and it's finally taking off. And I'm real excited. And I have everybody, all my friends, all my team members, my producers, my investors, to thank for it. So I want to thank you all. If you like the show, share it with 5 people. If you hated the show, share it with 5 of your enemies. Again, we are equal opportunity here. We're just trying to get the word out on the show. Word of mouth, right? Word of mouth is what makes these things take off. And you've done a great job. My RSS feed all over the world, United States, UK, you name it. Look at the map. Someday I'm going to have a big map. Somehow, I don't know if it's going to be electronic or not. I'm going to have a big map, and you guys will be able to see where the show is broadcasting, you know, where the downloads are. It's really cool to see. I'd like to get like one of those maps with the pushes to like keep track and look. Okay, again, I'll see you guys tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Pacific for ET Messages and Encounters with Sir Blake Sinclair. Have a great one, everybody, and if you're out driving, drive carefully. If not, you're at home, have a great rest of your evening. Bye.